Have you ever experienced
like a setback?
Have you ever experienced a setback? Well, your setback kind of like, it's like a gut check. You ever had a gut check, Josh? I mean, a real gut check, like, then start to lose your breath a little bit. Feels like the body of Christ has had a gut check. It's good to see you, man. Good to see you, bro. And I've been praying for you. I saw your face yesterday, and I said, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? That's a woman of God. What's going on? I don't have no prophetic word for you, but I have one thing just assured, that he's not leaving you in this. He's not leaving you in this. If you look to the left and you look to your right, you will see the saving hand of God right next to you. For the Comforter has come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to see some eyes. I may have to start wearing my... No, I'm not. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Gut check. We got a gut check. And I don't mean that one that you see where they do that, you know, double check. I ain't talking about that double check deal. I'm talking about a gut check. Where you've had a setback, and it's like, you can't even put words to it. You can't even explain it to no one what you've experienced, because they probably wouldn't even understand. But you got a gut check, and in that kind of gut check, you're like, wait a minute, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I have a setback that is checking me right now. This don't make no sense, because it goes contrary to the word of God. Well, let me help you. Anytime you have a setback, it's your set up. Well... Stand with me, Ernest. Stand right behind me. With your right hand, I want you to grab hold of this staff. When we stand in position, we are always holding our battering ram. Do you know what that is? It's an old instrument that was used in the art of war on how, I feel you now. How to knock down the door that has been shut in front of you. The mere fact that you're there is because God called you there. The Bible says that the steps of the righteous are ordered by God. So if you're standing in front of a door that's closed and it's locked and it has forces on the other side that don't want to let you in, God says you got a gut check the moment you showed up on the scene and you saw the door was closed. He says, what you've got to do is you've got to move that battering ram forward and back. But we're so used to just going forward and not getting any momentum on pulling back. The only way you're ever going to shoot an arrow is if you pull back on the string. But when you stand together and you learn to move together, you learn that when you're in sync with one another, that you're no longer fighting against the resistance, but you're moving together in unison with the Spirit. No, you don't hear me. I may be preaching to somebody that's not in this room, but it's okay. The Word of God has no boundaries. Amen. But now that we continue to move together in unison and in sync, now what has been opposing us sees that we're in sync and there's no longer confusion. But the enemy is trying to stop you by giving you a gut check. Ah, that hurt. But he's saying, no, you just stay in agreement with my spirit and I may bring you back a step. Watch this. Put your right foot back. Keep your left foot forward. Now I'm going to position you to thrust. Come forward. See, you were just getting in position so that you could thrust. When you feel that you got a gut check and a setback, it's only a setup. It's only a setup. But the only way you're going to realize it's a setup is when you take a step back. And you begin to look at your situation and you begin to be like Moses did at the burning bush. He took a step to the side and said, what you said, God? This bush isn't burning. There's something going on here. We have to take a step back, reevaluate. Reevaluate. Woo! It may be a setback. And you may get your gut checked. Oh. But when you thrust forward, you get back everything that was being held away from you, held back from you, that the doors were locked, and you felt like you couldn't get through. Guess what? When you come through that door, the enemy already knew that you began to get in sync with the Holy Ghost. Now you're no longer fighting against it. Now together you're fighting with the Holy Ghost to get through. And all you got to do is take a step back and lunge forward. It's your setup. It's your setup. Oh, it's your setup. It's your setup. Mm-hmm. I got a gut check a few years back. Bad gut check. But I look at my setup. Look who's back there running audio. I got a gut check when the devil tried to take him. Had him going to the grave, dead, flatlined, 25 minutes with no oxygen to his brain. He shouldn't be back there. It was a setup all along. A setup. You may think you're taking a step backwards. Look, I'll get you home in time for the Spurs. Watch this. Come here, put your bubble tea down. Come here, son. I'm making an illustration here. I want you to stand facing them straight. Now, all I want you to do is jump. Just jump straight up. Like you really want to get a rebound. Jump up. Okay, just straight one time. Is that the highest you can jump? Jump. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I want you to stand right here. This is what I want you to do. Follow me. Put your right foot back. Now, this is what I want you to do when you jump. I want you to come this way and then jump, and I'll watch the difference. Do it fast together. Go. Do it again. Here's what happens when you take a step back. You get you into momentum, and you have more thrust. Yes. Now, for some of y'all that have never been coached, thank you, son. If you've never been coached in basketball, if you ever watch the tip-off, they all have one foot parallel to the other, opponent. Parallel. Parallel to the opponent. I can get real deep on some basketball. You've got to get parallel with your opponent and not retreat, but just take a step back. So when it's time to jump, you have the ability to thrust. But watch this. The one that really wins the tip off isn't how high, it's always in the timing. That's it. It's always the timing that makes you successful. What happens if the referee throws the ball and you jump too soon? You'll miss. What happens when the referee throws the ball and you just stand there and look at it? You miss. But if you time it just right, your step back, your setback is your setup for your timing. It's a setup. It may feel like it's not going to happen. They may give you the wrong answer, but thus saith the Lord, I watch it for it to be performed, and it shall happen, says God. I'm not hiding it from you. I'm hiding it for you.
Thank you, Lord.
I know I'm hearing from God. Lord Jesus, help me. Thank you, Jesus. When you go through some stuff, it's to show you who is inside of you. It's not the word. It's not your knowledge either, nor the wisdom. It's Him inside of you that comes forth out of the pressures of life, that begins to get you further than where you're at right now. But if you don't have anything testing you, pushing on you, you'll never experience how much of Him you have in you. Have you ever wondered why it just don't let up? Why? And then it turns from the why to when? When? You don't even want to know the why no more. You just want to know, when am I getting out of here? You don't even want to know why I've been in this mess for so long. I don't care no more. When you get me out? Shoot. Telling you, God is watching every step. And everything that you're going through, He's going to receive glory.
Yes.
Everything. Everything, Joy. He's going to receive glory. But my Father in heaven tells me when He is glorified, so watch what He says. He glorifies you. How does He glorify you? With His glory in you, He becomes glorified. Oh, Lord Jesus, I know it's Bible study. I can get deep on Bible study. Sundays is different. I got to deal with all the other religious spirits. Wednesday night, you got people that really want to be here. Yeah, it's Niosa. Night in old San Antonio. I don't want to be old. I want to be in night in new things. Because my old has passed away. It's gone. My old stuff, she's old. I don't want it. I want nothing to do with my old. My old was 10 minutes ago, too. I want nothing to do with that. 10 minutes ago, you look, Pastor, you the pastor of this house? Not today. Not today. To about that last two songs, I'm the pastor today. See, how else are you going to know that the Holy Spirit is your helper in time of need? If you can walk around thinking you got this, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing. He got you. He got you. So all of a sudden you feel your helper. And He begins to strengthen you and encourage you. Sometimes I got to watch it because y'all think I don't want to pass to the church because every time I tell you, I ain't want to be here today. Y'all think pastor's just like, he just, No, I'll just tell you, this is a rated R church. Real. Real. So I'm going to tell you like I got to tell you, because if it be you, you won't want to show up to work tomorrow because you don't want to be there, right? This is my job. This is my job. This is my J-O-B. And I can bring my wife and my children every day to work if I want to. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to any of this other stuff. But what I can tell you this is when you do about your father's business, all of a sudden you begin to see some people around you that make sense in your life. Because prior to that, people didn't make any sense in your life. He chose 12, and of those 12, one of them was a thief. One of them knew how to betray someone. But didn't God choose? What I'm trying to tell you is when you're about your father's business, you're going to have some people in your life that are going to tell you and do some things in your life you're not going to like. I feel my helper joy. You my sister, so we look alike, so I might have to go that, okay. I feel my helper. When I feel my helper, I don't want to go anywhere else other than where he wants to lead me. Sometimes you got someone all up in your business. We say it like this sometimes. Why are you all up in my Kool-Aid? Why are you all in my business when you're really not for me? Why are you all up in my business when you ain't here to get me to where I need to be anyhow? And where I need to be sure is lonely when you're going through. But you're not alone. Because the real comforter, the real helper is with you. So when you're going through and you have someone tell you something that brings fear on you, and you look around and you got nobody to agree with you, all you got to do is look to your left and to your right, and he's right there with you. Right there with you. Sometimes you got to know that when you're alone in a battle, you're really not alone. He's right there helping you.
Thank you, Lord.
But if he chose the 12, he's going to choose some jokers in your life. Some jokers have really the greatest value than the ones that always say yes, yes, or always puff you up. That always tell you you're anointed, you're called. He ain't telling you nothing that you should already know. But if you got to hear it, you're still on the bottom. Every now and then you need someone to tell you something that you don't like. And usually it's called truth. But when the truth comes, it sets you free. Sets you free. People say, well, that's Jesus. He's the truth. Let me help you. You ever told a child the truth that you found out about their lie?
Yeah.
Oh, they don't embrace you and love you. I love you, mommy, for telling me the truth. Amen. If you got that kind of child, God bless you. Because you're special. Because if you ever have a child that finds out that you know the truth in the midst of their own lie, oh, they get mad. I remember when. I remember when Mama and Daddy told me some truth about me. I was a little kid, little. I done took everything they bought me and I put it outside the door. I don't want it. What? You know that little Mickey Mouse phone they used to have? Put the Mickey Mouse phone right outside the door. put some clothes right outside my bedroom door, put some radios and stuff outside the door. But a couple of things that I knew they gave me, I kind of hid. I didn't want to get rid of. Dad comes in and looks, what is this? I don't want it. Shoo, okay, I'm going to throw it away. Huh? I don't care what you do with it. On my phone. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Sometimes we get mad at truth, but the truth will set you free. You know how you get rid of a deceiving spirit? Huh? You know how you get rid of a deceiving spirit? You bring him, the truth, in. When you bring Jesus Christ in the room, all of a sudden that deception begins to leave. Begins to leave. And then everything that's attached, because I'm going to address the spirit right now. Everything that is attached to deception and lies and corruption begins to line up on its way out. Because you can't fight truth. You can't. When the truth, it is truth. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Just shake off all that stuff. It's gone. It's gone. That's it. Whew. Open the door, Mom. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. Just let it out. It's gone. I know where some of y'all been, but y'all been in places shouldn't been because y'all brought it here. Yeah. I'm not playing. Not playing. I love you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. Go mess around with something, guess what you're going to do? It's going to be all over you. It's going to be all over you. You're not even going to know what's there. And people around you are like, what's going on? What's up? You used to feel the presence of God here. I feel the presence of the enemy now. This church is like, ooh, it's fleshy. I told you, I'm playing. So it takes headship to speak. Get rid of it. Go back to it. Go back to it. Seven times greater is going to come upon you. You don't believe me? Take it up with Jesus. Take it up with Jesus. Oh, I ain't talking to you about sin. No, I ain't talking about sin. I'm not talking about that. No, because I don't judge that. Not me, that's him. I look at things in the spirit and say, okay, I don't like what I feel here. This is the house God put me in charge of. Correct? So we're going to deal with this spirit. We ain't going to allow it in. I'm not going to allow it in. Because if it gets in here, guess where else it goes? Your homes, your marriage, your children, your businesses, your jobs. I got your attention now, right? Good. Good. I have a. It's not difficult, but I choose not to get into this role quite often. Choose not to. As a pastor, I got to love you. I'm going to pray for you, babe. I'm going to pray. As a prophet, offer your life. Go to it again. This is what's going to happen. You'll be bound and gagged, and you won't come out. You see the difference? Still in line with the Word of God. Still in line. Easy, easy. I'm just giving you examples. Just giving you examples. Boy, oh boy. Giving you examples. If I can't teach you this, you don't want to learn. You don't want to learn. But if you're willing to learn, I'm willing to teach. Here's what the Bible tells me that Jesus said. Cast not your pearls before the swine. I'm not calling you swine. But there's a spirit that attaches that before you get out, it takes the revelation before you can ever grab hold of it, and it destroys it before you ever obtain it.
and you wonder why things haven't, not things, situation, but things in your life stay the same. It's called learned behaviors. And if I can't teach you how to break a learned behavior, I'm not doing my job. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I hope we got this one on tape. I didn't think I was going to be in this role tonight. Father, right now, I take authority over everything that has come attached to these precious children of yours. I take authority over it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Every lying, deceitful, and unclean spirit that is attached to each one of your precious children is subject unto me. I take authority over it right now in Jesus' mighty name. I cast it off of their life, their finances, their health, their children, their marriages, and their relationships right now in Jesus' mighty name. It will not enter into their household. It will not enter into their mindsets. And we break every mindset right now in Jesus' mighty name. And we renew the mind. We don't give it a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind and of love and of power in Jesus' mighty name. All of God's children said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Glory to God in the highest. I promise to get you out of here before midnight. Amen. Amen. You intercessors in this house, be diligent in your prayers. Do you remember when I talked about it last week, about the distraction, what was used to be... I believe the word that I used was, wasn't distraction, it was a diversion. A diversion. Sunday, the Lord had me, and this is right at the end of the service on Sunday, when we were giving our tithe, saying, bam, bam, as she set it down, bam. And I heard the Lord say it was like dynamite that was breaking open the dam and it was exploding. That's what was being held up from you. Yes. Okay? Yes. Now, the enemy tries to get you diverted from what God wants to get to you. If I'm about to give you something, but yet all of a sudden there's a diversion and it makes you lose attention, guess what happens? The blessing goes right on by and you miss it. And I know by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, God is shedding light, illumination, and revelation to the body of Christ so they don't get diverted by a false light. Careful. Careful now. You want signs and wonders? The enemy can do signs and wonders too. But Jesus tells us to discern it by its fruits. If you don't see fruits that are of the kingdom of God, you better get to stepping quick or I have to continue doing what I was doing earlier. And if I have to keep doing that, shame on you. Hallelujah. I love you. Pastor Rona. I'm going to put that hat, put it down. Get out of that. Just trying to father you. Just trying to father you. Some of you guys, I know visitors, God bless you. Bless you. Father you. The Lord showed me, and I showed it last week, that we have a fatherless generation. And if fathers don't get into position and don't instruct their children, children are going to be diverted off of the plan of God. All right, Josh, look at me, son. Go to the next slide, please. They don't move. The next one. There we go. Okay, I know I got Shamu here. You will see on Sunday what this is about. And for those that are coming on Sunday, I invite you to come and I charge you to go and get a visitor. Just get you one. That's all it takes, just one. And bring them. But warn them that everybody's going to be in Hawaiian get up. some sandals, some, you know, flip-flops and some shorts and some, you know, Hawaiian get-up, because we're going to have ourselves like a luau. Now, not the food. I'm going to give you the luau food, like in the spirit. Okay. Y'all coming in, oh, there's free food. I'll be there. You'll have your donuts, your coffee, and your juice. But we need to have an understanding that when we're in the kingdom of God, we can be loose and we can be free. Amen? Because the power of God that worketh inside of you is greater than the power that is out in this world. We have to understand it. Encounters with God that transform. That's what we all need. The encounters with God that transform. The old is gone and the new is here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Who's got that? Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when you're there, say amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You got it, Jeff? Go ahead and read, sir, right here. All right. It's Bible study time. You want to get in your Bible today?
Go on, sir. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation.
Oh. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new creation. New. The old is gone, correct? All right. Josh, next one. You got to keep your eyes on me, son. Genesis 24, 1 through 9, if you would. Sir, Genesis 24, 1 through 9. Go to your Bibles, Genesis 24, 1 through 9. You will have a lot of scriptures, so if you're taking notes, take notes. Genesis 24, 1 through 9. Kind of caveating off of last week's message about a fatherless generation. Well, this is when you have a father in the generation that pursues after God. All right? Are you there, sir? Read, sir. 1 through 9.
Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day, Abraham said to his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh.
Thigh. Under the thigh, correct? Okay, I want you to keep that in the back of your head. Thigh. Go ahead, sir.
Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you will not allow my son to marry one of these Canaanite women.
All right. Do you hear that where he says, you will make an oath, put your hand underneath my thigh, that my son you will not allow to marry a Canaanite woman. The reason for that is they were non-believers. They worshipped foreign gods. So the father is already looking out for his son. No, you ain't going to yoke up with an unbeliever. This just ain't happening. Continue reading, sir.
Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. The servant asked, but what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in the land you came from? No, Abraham responded. Be careful never to take my son there.
Hear that? Be careful never to take my son there. Are you hearing God said? Or are you hearing Abraham say? The father is putting a charge over the servant concerning his son's life. Okay, now, what I want you to understand is that Isaac is 40 years old. He could have spoken directly to Isaac. Could have spoken directly to Isaac. But why did he tell the servant? Because the servant knows he better obey the master, or he will no longer be a servant and be cast out. But if it was told to the son could rebel. Where is he going to be cast out of? So he speaks to the servant to understand. Continue reading, sir.
For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give his land to my descendants. He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son.
Now he's saying that God that brought me out of my land and promised me about my descendants will go before you. You haven't heard God say this yet, right? He's declaring this to his servant. Are you at the end of it? Go ahead.
If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. but under no circumstances are you to take my son there. So the servant took an oath by putting his hand underneath the thigh of his master, Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instructions.
I don't know about you. I love y'all, but you ain't coming to my thigh and put your hand under there. Well, that ain't going to happen, brother. That's not happening. You follow me? In other words, I'm going to allow you into the area of intimacy with me as your master and as a father concerning Isaac. That made a representation of an intimate oath from the servant saying, I submit to your authority and the level of your loins. Do you understand? Okay. Now, what I want you to see here is Abraham sends for a wife for his son Isaac, Rebecca. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Josh, you can't pick your wife. I'm going to send a servant from this church to go find you a wife from another town that you've never been to, okay? You just say hallelujah and an amen because our daddy's taking care of you here. Daddy got you. Yeah, because when you get older, you can choose your friend. No, daddy will choose your friends for you. You know how we are? We're like, no, you ain't going to go. You ain't dating that one, that's for sure. Mm-mm. I don't like the way she walks and chews gum. That ain't the one. I don't want the one that, you know, has a tendency. Don't know how to cook, don't know how to clean, and don't know how to wash your clothes either. That ain't the one for you. So I'm going to just save you from all that headache. I'm going to pick out the one for me from another land, another town. They know how to make tortillas. They know how to make rice. They know how to make beans. They know how to make enchiladas. And then when you really want something good, they know how to clean. They know how to cook, but they know how to keep you in line. Did we just lose some of y'all? Because now we're like, hey, baby, as long as you're happy, you ain't happy because I ain't seen you in about 6 months. The only reason why you're coming now is because you're dropping off your baby for me to babysit, and I ain't even had dinner with you and your wife yet. Oh, Lord, I felt the devil walk in. Where did we lose sight of watching out for the lineage? Maybe I just don't want to deal with it. Go do whatever you want to do. Just go do what you're going to do. No, you ain't going to find her out at a club. Just going to let you know that for a minute. Because when you go and ask her, can I buy you a drink? She's going to get the most expensive. And baby, you ain't got a J-O-B. You got no business going in there. You only went there early so you can get in for free. So let me help you. Let me help you. Get yourself a J-O-B. Get you some money. And don't go throw it away in the club. Maybe you can invest some time and start paying attention to yourself, like your hygiene. Like your clothes. Your room. Don't even let me get started with your vehicle. You know, where you had the McDonald's wrappers in there and the cups in there from, you know, about a month ago. And you want yourself a woman? Now, let daddy take care of that. You understand? I'm just being trivial, but I'm trying to get a point across. Where is it that we lost sight of the fact that we're going to let our kids do whatever they want and choose whoever they want, but yet they don't even serve God? That was the real motive. You ain't getting it, and you make an oath with me. You don't let my child marry not one woman in this town. They've got to marry someone from over there. That's a strong oath. All right. Go to verse 59, sir, through 61, then begin to read again, Jim. Nowadays you tell you ain't marrying her. You don't own me. I'm grown. I'm only 19, but I'm grown. Yeah, you grown right outside your britches and go on. Verse 59 through 61. Go ahead, sir.
So they said goodbye to Rebekah and sent her away with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebecca's childhood nurse went along with her.
Oh, now he's not only getting himself a woman, like a wife, also getting a nurse. Go ahead, sir.
They gave her this blessing as she parted. Mm-hmm. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. Then Rebecca and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed the men.
Servant girls? So we got a nurse and servant girls. See, daddy knows how to pick them, Josh. You ain't going to just get yourself a wife that don't know nothing. Daddy going to pick you a wife that's got some money. And got a nurse, you know, in other words, when you're sick, she can take care of you, Josh. All right? I'm just trying to help you. You got to listen to daddy. I got your back. Continue reading, sir. Continue reading.
So Abraham's servant took Rebecca and went on his way.
And sent him on camels? Camels. Camels, not horses. Camels were used to haul for long distances. And they were able to not only haul the goods, but also the rider with the goods. You missed that. Try to get a horse to carry you and the goods. Not going to happen, because it will buck you off and the goods. But a docile animal like a camel will allow you and your goods and bring it to where you're at. Isn't that awesome how daddy took care of this for Isaac? We talked about how Isaac was, if you read on, talks about Isaac was in the Negev, which is the desert place. Doesn't it seem like sometimes when you're about to receive a blessing, you're in the desert place? Doesn't it seem like you have to go and seek the scripture says he went to go seek the Lord. And as he's praying and seeking the Lord, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes. And when he saw these camels coming, these camels were coming loaded down and loaded down with a fine looking woman. Now, watch this. Let me flip the script on you a little bit. Rebecca says to the servant, say, who that man? He says, that's my servant, Isaac. That's my Lord. The Bible says she covered her face real quick and said, started batting those eyelashes. They were real long. They were like it. She had to glue them in there real good so they wouldn't fall. And she was just looking. The Bible says that Isaac looked up and said, is she mine? Didn't even bother looking at the nurse, the servants, or the camels. I don't care about that money. I'm blessed. You mine? This is what my Bible says. He grabbed a hold of her and took her into the tent and became husband and wife. Boy, I tell you what. Did he have to pray about it and fast about it? No. Huh? Did he have to go seek the Lord? Is this the one or is this not the one? This the one, not the one. Mm-mm. He knew. She knew. And they were loaded down. Okay. His eyes behold the camels and Rebecca. But here's what I want to point out. Abraham sends for a wife for his son Isaac and Rebecca. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Next slide, Josh. Genesis 25:19. If you would, sir, read.
The birth of Esau and Jacob.
Esau and Jacob. Twins. Rebecca has twins. Rebecca has twins. Here's what I find very strange. Esau was a redhead and he was hairy. Jacob wasn't. So were they identical twins? No. Dang. So there's some differences. But what I find is very interesting, and I'm going to start getting to this in a second here, is how Jacob was already holding on to the heel of his brother. Jacob means Heal. Now, you can imagine what's going on now, because remember, they sent a nurse with her. So the nurse is looking at this and say, wait a minute. This is a little strange. Rebecca can't see what's going on. Okay? And I can almost guarantee you, Isaac's not in there. Mm-mm. But the nurse and the handmaidens were. So they took witness of what was going on. Watch this. Go to Genesis 27, sir. Verse 1.
Jacob steals Esau's blessing. One day, when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and he said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied.
I want you to see how now the father is getting old, losing sight, so he can only tell the difference by, first of all, smell, touch, and you would think sound, correct? But even Jacob fooled the father. If you read on in that story here, he steals the birthright, really, as Esau goes out hunting to bring back to get the blessing from the father before the father dies. He goes out, he's hunting, but he comes back and he's just famished. I've been hunting, I got to eat me some beans. And these weren't regular beans. These were the borracho beans that you get that have the beans that are just cooked just right. Now, you know, when you have the borracho beans, they have the cilantro, they have the peppers in it. And not only these beans that when you bite into, you feel the Holy Ghost. And you get goosebumps all over you because, and you feel revitalized. It's good stuff. So he looked at that and he says, I need some beans or I'm going to die. Jacob, the supplanter, in other words, he's a deceiver. Here, this is what he said, just give me your birthright. He said, I'm about to die. If I die, what does it matter? He goes, promise me. Okay, give me the beans. So he took birthright. That's deception. I'm telling you, these beans had to be real good. They had to be real good. Okay, y'all don't like borrachos. You had to like the refried. No, the real refried. Where it's refried so much that it's real thick, not the runny kind. You know the real ones when they put it on the grill and they just flip it over a couple of times. It comes out real dark on it. And when you bite into it, you're like, ooh. That's the kind these were. Because he looked at that like, wow, give me a tortilla, put some cheese. That's a good bean and cheese right there. All right. Trying to help you. Beans, baby, beans. Genesis 28. Jacob deceives his father, Isaac, for the blessing. So in other words, he goes into the room. He deceives him. He gets the blessing from the father with the right hand on his head. Blesses him. Did you not see that on Sunday when I had the men up here? Blessing them as spiritual sons off of this house. And there was a blessing release, okay? What was taking place is that Jacob was deceiving his father to get the blessing. So there's two things that Jacob already did that were out of order. You would think the God that we serve is not going to use Jacob. Oh, y'all know the story because that's why y'all not agreeing with me, right? Y'all know the story. But why is it that we allow people to tell us in our mess up, in our hiccups, in our backups, that we messed up and we're not going to get what's ours? There's proof right here. You may mess up. You may get out of line, but you're going to get yours. But whoa, don't get all excited. I'm going to go do all crazy stuff. Because even Jacob got tricked too. Yeah. Oh, it goes around. Remember I told you about the sister that I went that way? I'm going to leave that alone because some of y'all look at me like, don't go there, Pastor. I ain't going there. All right. Genesis 27:41. Genesis 27:41. Esau is now saying that I will kill him. I thought that twins had a connection. I thought that twins had a real connection, like they're inseparable. Now watch this, watch. Now, in Genesis 28, it goes on to say that Jacob is told he's blessed and he's charged by Isaac. Now watch this. If you read it, go to Genesis 28. Can you read it, Jeff? Genesis 28, I think it's verse 1.
So, I, So Isaac called for Jacob, blessed him, and said, "You must not marry any of these Canaanite women. Instead, go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your grandfather."
All right, Bethel. Now listen here. See, he blessed him, then he charged him with, here, I'm going to bless you, but then don't do this. Do you see that? There's a blessing and a charge. If you're just getting blessed, 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 and you're not getting checked or corrected and charged by your spiritual father, all you want is give me. I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, did you read there where he said for him to go somewhere? Where did he tell him to go? Podiatrist and all that. Okay. Did you hear that God said for Jacob to go? The Father said for him to go. So then you would think that Jacob would say, wait a minute. I don't want to go. I just got my new iPhone. I just got my new iPad. I just got my 70-inch flat screen. I'm just kidding. I did not get that. But he's saying, you know, thinking about, I have to leave everything behind. And then you're telling me I can't find a wife here. Wait a minute. You got mama by sending someone to go get mama. Now I've got to leave. Leave everything and everyone that I know, and I got to leave by myself, and my brother's trying to kill me. I've got to go out here by myself and get my own wife with people that I don't even know into a place that I know nothing about. That's kind of wrong, isn't it? That's just not right. You tell me, I got to go. I don't want to go over there. I don't know anything about that area. But Jacob listened. Did he not? Here's what I find very interesting. Next slide, Josh. He flees for his life to find a wife. In his flight from home, Isaac had camel sent to find a wife. Isaac was at home with family. Jacob had to leave everything. But the father sent him. Next one, Josh. Genesis 28:10-22. Read on, sir. 10-22.
Jacob's dream at Bethel. Meanwhile, Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. Mm-hmm. At sundown, he arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Mm-hmm. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day, I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you."
Isn't that a good dream right there? But wait a minute, wait a minute. Now he's alone. He's fleeing for his life. He's running to go find a wife because you're not going to get a wife here. You got to go find a wife over there. Your brother's about to kill you. You better get out of here. And so when he's tired, he goes and lays down and puts his head on a rock and he has his dream. Now this dream comes where God speaks to him in a dream concerning his grandfather and his father, and the blessing that he gave him now belongs to him. And when he speaks this to him, he releases to him a blessing that came from God. Can you imagine if Jacob would have fought against his father, said, "I'm not going," throw a tantrum, got all mad. "You don't know what you're talking about. You're old. You can't even see. I tricked you. You didn't even pay attention. I'm just going to stay right here." He would have missed this blessing. This is what the Lord said in the dream. He says, "I will not leave your side until this promise is accomplished." Do you know what got Jacob that blessing? obedience to the Father.
Okay. It's all right. God chose him even after the deception and the lies. Genesis 32:24, read, sir. Genesis 32, verse 24.
This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break.
Mm-hmm.
When the man saw what he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Mm-hmm. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won."
Amen. Do you see where he touched him? What does yours say? On the thigh. Do you see that? The hip. The other versions actually speak of the thigh. The same thigh that he had his hand underneath. If you obey me, then I will bless you. But if the oath cannot be performed, because there is no woman suitable for my son, then you're free from this oath. The hand under the thigh, and then God comes and wrestles with Jacob and touches his thigh. Do you understand? Renewing covenant and letting him know, I've got to change you. I've got to change your character. I've got to change your ways. I've got to change the way you think and the way you see things. You're no longer going to be called deception, but you're going to be called the church, Israel. So when he wakes up, he makes an oath to God. He pours oil over the rock, and he calls this place Bethel. But what it used to be called was Luz, which meant light. When you get revelation, the light, the illumination from God, it's a covenant that he's given you on that revelation that it can never be taken away. Never be taken away. So the enemy's trick is to stop the revelation from ever entering in. Do you understand? Now, what Jacob did is he made an oath to God, and he said, if you will feed me, clothe me, keep me, protect me, then I will always give you a tenth. Do you read that there? Do you see that? It's called a tithe. I will give you a tithe of everything. He blessed him. He changed his character. He changed his ways. He changed him because he had a God encounter. How many of us need an encounter with God? Here's the beautiful thing about this encounter. He said, you got to let me go because the day is about to break. You've been wrestling with everything that you're going through in your night season, but the sun is about to rise, and you're about to have things changed in your life. The character and the way you see things and how you see God and how he sees you is about to change because the encounter that he's going to have with you. You have to make this thing personal. You can't make it religious. You have to make it personal. You need to get him into your spirit and into your mind to renew your mind, to change all these mindsets and learn behaviors, because we've created a pattern the same way we do it, the same every day, that when your children watch you doing it every day and how you react, their pattern is now being put into use, and they're learning a pattern and a behavior, and you're trying to bind every generational curse. It's a learned behavior because they're watching you. How do you change a learned behavior? You make change to self first. So those that are watching you and following after you can change the way they're learning. The way you're learning. The other side of this, and I'll finish it next week, is there's another person that had an encounter. His name was Saul. And he had an encounter with God too. Changed everything, his nature, his perception, and everything about him.
and the way he viewed Christianity, because he had an encounter with God. The fact that God wants